For the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services at HHS, payment errors are 50% more likely to happen in cases of routine visits, those that evaluate or manage a patient's health. At more than $32 billion, the so-called E&M services represent about a third of the payments under the Medicare Part B program. The Health and Human Services Office of the Inspector General looked at data from 2010. It found that coding errors and lack of documentation led to $6.7 billion in improper E&M payments, or 21% of the total. Dwayne Grant is Regional Inspector General for Health and Human Services. He joins us now with more. Good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Sure, Tom.
So how does this happen? This seems routine, just visits for evaluating and managing patients' care. What can go wrong to lead to 21% of improper payments?
Well, as you said, the E&M services are really commonly referred to as patient visits. So every time you go to the doctor, you're going to get billed for an E&M service. And then within those services, there are different levels. So they typically between 3 to 5 different levels. And so a 1 is kind of a basic level service, and a 5 is more complex. And so there are different payment rates associated with each of those. So what we found when we did our review was that most of the improper payments were due to incorrect coding, meaning that the level of service that was billed to Medicare didn't match up with what was documented in the patient's medical record. Most often we found these claims were upcoded, meaning that a higher and, of course, more expensive code was billed when a lower or less expensive code was more appropriate. Now, these payment rates are relatively small. They're only about $100 on average, and the cost difference between the different codes are even smaller. But, again, you have to remember millions of these services are billed to Medicare each year, and it results in billions of dollars. And as you can say, as you said, you know, we found almost $7 billion in improper payments.
And sometimes these things follow patterns. I mean, was there, say, one big office in Florida that was routinely hitting 2 codes lower down to get more money? And you got tens of thousands of those. I mean, what are the patterns like?
Well, we did find what we called as high coders. We had some physicians that typically always billed the 2 highest codes. And so nationally, we found about 1,700 of these physicians that always billed the 2 highest level codes. So those are obviously areas of concern and areas where we've recommended CMS put more focus.
And so expect prosecutions to come out of this, or is this something they were doing deliberately, or are the forms bad? I mean, how does it happen that they overcode so routinely?
Well, we didn't really look at the why as determined the extent of the problem, but clearly one issue that popped out was, the upcoding, and clearly that indicates more education needs to be done. There certainly is probably some fraud, waste, and abuse aspect to this, but most of it we think is a lack of understanding of the coding and documentation requirements.
And did you find, I guess, to give this a 3D picture, do any doctors or were there any evidence of undercoding or, you know, only coding for E&M when they did something more extensive?
Yes. I mean, we did find undercoding, so that was certainly to a lesser extent. But clearly there were some times when physicians should have billed a higher level code and should have been paid more. I mean, we want to make sure that the physicians get the appropriate payment, not too much and not too less. And a lot of that goes back to that education aspect of understanding the requirements to document the correct level code.
So, yeah, I was going to say, I guess you're hinting at the bigger problem here. What is this information telling us about CMS and the payment system that you think you might have learned here?
Well, again, I think we go back to the education component where physicians need to understand the differences between the different levels and make sure they're billing appropriately. There are people that are always billing the highest level codes, and, you know, that's a little bit unusual that someone is always billing the highest level codes all the time. That means they're seeing the sickest and most complex patients all the time. That could, in fact, be the case, but certainly people that are doing that need a little bit of extra attention.
If you're a physician's practice, I mean, who is it within a practice that typically does the coding?
Well, typically some people may contract out for coders. So the physician will do the initial analysis and may code it, but then there's usually someone else is actually reviewing that claim and then submitting it.
And
so it's a combination of people.
And knowing CMS, knowing what these systems tend to go like, I'm sure it's a pretty complex set of instructions. Where does someone go to learn how to operate the CMS payment system?
Yeah, well, there's it is a little bit of a complex program. There's actually two sets of guidelines. They came out with one set in 1995 and another set in 1997. And so the physicians can use either one of those or sometimes a combination of the two. And we think this may lead to some of the complexity and misunderstanding on deciding what is the correct code to bill.
We're speaking with Dwayne Grant. He's Regional Inspector General at the Health and Human Services Department. And has anyone postulated the theory that the constant squeeze on payments to doctors coming from the federal government might be incentive to upcode?
Well, that's not really something we look at. That's something probably could exist, but there is incentive. And I think the issue goes back to the point I made is that it's a very small difference between one level and the next, probably about $35, for example, from a level four to level five. So it's one of those things that physicians may think it's easy to upcode and it's going to fly under the radar and no one's going to look at it. But again, these $35 in overpayments between codes can add up over time.
I guess from the physician standpoint, that could be 2 or 3 hours of someone sitting there doing the coding. So, two of them a day you've paid for your staff for coding.
Yeah.
I'm just making that one up, but that could be the case. And so, what can be done at this point? I mean, and also, I guess the question is, you looked at 2010 data. Is there any evidence to suggest that things are changing one way or the other, better or worse?
Yeah, well, we believe the problem we found in 2010 data still exists today. I mean, there's historically E&M services have had a high error rate, and we're not aware of anything that has changed that would make that different today. So we do think the problem still exists, and we continue to recommend to CMS that, continue the education, but also focus on these high billers, these physicians that are always billing the highest level codes. That presents a little bit of a problem for CMS because of the cost to do what we did on kind of a larger scale. It can be very expensive. So when you get into an upcoding situation like I mentioned, where it could be a $35 difference, it may cost CMS anywhere from maybe $40 to $50 to find that. So you're actually spending more than you're recovering. But we do think that may have somewhat of a sentinel effect where it's going to prevent future overpayments.
Now, CMS has had a program to use data analytics techniques, and it took them a while to get that up and running. Does that show promise for maybe catching the stuff sooner and maybe alerting doctors that it's out there and don't do this?
Yes, we have not yet evaluated that initiative. It is relatively new. It's just getting off the ground, but we believe this type of analysis, similar to what credit card companies do every day, is a step in the right direction. We have been identifying physicians who have been billing higher than their peers for years now. However, we do our work after the fact. The money's already been paid. CMS has an opportunity through this program to do this analysis on the front end and stop the money from going out the door and stop what is often referred to as kind of the pay and chase model, where CMS pays out the money and then figures out after the fact whether it's appropriate. It's a lot more cost effective to not pay it out in the first place.
All right. So, what comes next then? What's CMS reaction to this finding, and what do they tell you?
Well, they're certainly on board with providing more physician education, and they're doing that. They're a little bit more cautious on doing more medical record reviews of these high coders, basically because of the issue of the return on investment. They're looking at other ways of using comparative billing reports, where they would send out reports to physicians and just showing how they stand compared to their peers as a way to bring the appropriate coding back into line.
Dwayne Grant is Regional Inspector General for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of the Inspector General. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Tom.